Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time of the month for the David Bowers Awards, ladies and gentlemen. We are so glad that you are with us once again. And I am your co-host, John Bon Jovial. I just want to let you know that our special guest today, and we've got one heck of a show lined up, Charlie Daniels, that's right, CDB of the Charlie Daniels Band. And we also have Trey Edwards, who's going to be premiering his new song, When the Sun Shines Again. And we're going to take a little bit of a left turn on our Rockstar 101 this month. A lot of people have asked both David and I how we got our starts in the radio business, and we know there's quite a few people out there that have interest in possibly getting into broadcasting, so we're going to share our thoughts on that as well. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the man, the David Bowers.
Thank you, John Bon Jovial. And he said that all with the same mouth. That boy scares me sometimes, he really does. And also, I want to mention, we didn't mean to overlook anybody. We also have Richard Sergiovanni, and I hope I said his name correctly, who is the originator and provoker of new children's TV animated series, The Grimps, story of a rock band. So we're going to have him on here with us in just a few minutes to tell us all about the Grimps and their music, and we'll get to hear an advance of one of their songs, as a matter of fact, the theme song to the TV series, which we'll be playing for you after we get a chance to sit and talk with Richard for a few minutes. Want to thank you and welcome you all to the David Bowers Awards. This is our final show of 2013, and for those of you joining us for the first time, the whole concept is there are so many award shows, we thought it was time to have every show be an award show. So here we are, the show where everyone gets awards and gives awards. There's no weird voting or no nomination panels or idol worship or questionable committees, just simply awards.
I just can't understand, though, David, why you haven't given me an award yet.
Well, I haven't really found out what you're deserving of yet.
So many things.
Well, I'll take that under advisement. And meanwhile, our listeners are more than welcome to submit their ideas for people who deserve awards. If you know someone or something that has done something incredibly great or incredibly stupid, and you think they deserve an award, email us at david@thedavidbowers.com. Put awards in the subject line and tell us who or what you think deserves an award and why. And with that said, the main purpose of the show, it's all about the music and the people who make it. And along with John Bon Jovial, my co-host, we present some of the most talented artists in the world. Some are household names, others you may not have heard of yet. It's the only show, we think, where up-and-coming artists get to present their music right alongside the big boys and girls, and you get to participate, too. And we do have a great show lined up today. I want to remind you, before we get to our first guest, be sure to order your official The David Bowers Awards T-shirts. They're available now, and now through Christmas, not $30 or even $20, right now through Christmas, you can get your official The David Bowers Awards T-shirts for just $14.30 at our website, thedavidbowers.com. I keep everything simple. That's why everything is The David Bowers. Well, I keep it simple so even I can remember it. But go to our website, thedavidbowers.com. You can get men's or ladies' shirts. They're available in white or black, and you'll get them within just a few days. The David Bowers Awards T-shirts available right now, only $14.30 at thedavidbowers.com. And a little bit later, we're going to be giving you a chance to win one of our show exclusives. You're going to get an audiograph from today's guest, Trey Edwards, who will be debuting the world premiere of his new single. But first, We're going to our first guest, and he is going to be joining us in just a couple of seconds, and that is Richard Sergiovanni, creator of The Grimps. And hopefully we have Richard on the phone with us now. Richard, are you there? And there's no one there. There's a phone line open, but there's nobody. Hello there.
Have we been stood up?
I don't know. Whoever it was just hung up.
There he is.
We have another line.
We got another line. I think that's him.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Richard?
This is Richard. David?
Richard. Okay, I don't know who that was on the other line, but they didn't speak, and we're glad you did. Welcome to the David Bowers Awards.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I know you have a ton of listeners because I've been fielding comments and requests and information from a bunch of people who are anxious to hear you on the show, so we're going to give you the opportunity right now. Why don't you start off by telling us how you even before you tell us how you created, tell us what are the Grimps?
The Grimps are actually the future of animated rock and roll. It's an animated rock and roll band that I created, and also going to be a television show for the family, three generations, and we're going to be presenting the Grimps as an original rock and roll band with some original music. So it's going to be really full-scope family entertainment and music and lots of fun.
It sounds like a really original concept on several levels. And now, exactly did you come up with this idea?
Well, I have my two passions and two paths. As started at different times in my life, being a music lover and being a musician and being a cartoonist. And after doing both of those separately in different courses and ages of my life, about 3 years ago, I decided I wanted to work on a new project, and I decided to try to come up with an idea to combine my two passions and started to develop the idea of, an animated rock and roll band, but wanted to make it more than that. So I just started to, formalize the idea and the characters and decided to, really remembering the Monkees TV show from many, many, many years ago where they presented them as, with original songs. I brought that concept into play also, and it started to develop from there, and it's been going quite well so far.
So would it be safe to say that we're going to be able to have you back in the not-too-far-distant future and maybe have some more music from the Grimps?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to come on back. We're gaining a lot of traction with the project. One of my biggest quests right now is we're looking for a home for development to, create this animated series and really get into production. And at the same time, you get back into the studio and start to really develop the sound of the band. But yes, I would love to come back soon and tell you what our updates are.
That would be tremendous, and I would look forward to that, not only to hear about your updates, but of course find out that you have that you're on the go, that we can turn the TV on and see you guys, and maybe even get to talk to the characters themselves.
Oh, I'll bring the boys back on the next interview, and absolutely, when I come back, I would love to be able to announce, when we're going to get started. The wonderful thing and the strange thing about this project right now is it's kind of taken a life of its own. I think it's getting interest from not only the kids about the, with the characters and the fun storyline, but it's also with the parents and especially the grandparents. I'm finding that the classic rock generation is really, really loving this, I guess because it has a retro feel, and we have fans from 7 to 70 years old, and they're coming from all around the world. So we got some good traction. We have some good people that show an interest. For instance, Mr. Jack Douglas, if people do not know his name at the moment, he's the producer of Aerosmith and Cheap Trick and worked with John Lennon and several other people, has shown tremendous interest in working with me and helping me develop the sound of the Grimps in the studio. So there's really, really a lot of excitement going on and interest even before we have a network going on. So when I come back, we're going to have some really interesting and fun things to talk about, and you know, and then soon after make our debut.
I'm definitely looking forward to that, and I can vouch for the fact that you do have a very strong fan base worldwide already, because we do, in fact, have a worldwide fan base, and we're hearing from them. But not only that, as I mentioned at the head of our discussion, I've gotten a lot of comments, questions, and just check-ins from people who were looking forward to listening to you on the show today, and they have indeed come from around the world. I'm happy to say that you have contributed to our largest pre-show audience. Of course, it's too early to tell what the total audience for the show is going to be, but you have helped contribute to the largest pre-show audience with requests and logins prior to the show that we have had in the year we've been doing this show. So congratulations and thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm delighted with that. I'm delighted to hear that. Thank you. And wow. I hope that trend keeps going.
I know for a fact that a good piece of it is your fan base, because when I'm going through, and especially on Facebook, for example, it's very easy to check the person and see – you know, a little bit about them just from their Facebook, from their front page. And
right.
I know there was a bunch of people I was looking at, and everyone would pop up. Our mutual friends included you with your picture with the sunglasses there. So I know these are people that you have you've brought into our realm. And, hey, we welcome you. We welcome everybody who loves the music, because that's what this is all about. I've said over and over again, it's all about the music and the people
Absolutely.
Who make it. And I want to mention also, we do have a chat room. You can log in on blogtalkradio.com and go to blogtalkradio.com/TheDavidBowers. You open up that page. If you have a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, it's one of those free, it's like a social media site. If you have an account there, you can log into our chat room. You can talk with others who are in the chat room. Right now we have, Candy Kane is in the chat room. Kathy Fisher is in the chat room. We have a guest number 712. Sometimes our chat room looks like San Quentin. Everybody has a number on them, but we welcome you all there. We also have a phone line, which we try to get to as time allows, and you can call us at 347-945-7137. You'll pop after the operator answers, press number 1, and you'll pop up on our switchboard, and we'll get to you as time allows. But, Richard, back to the Grimps. Tell us about the characters. Now, I know in the theme song, which we're going to play after we talk with you, they mention the characters' names and everything. Tell us about the individual characters.
The individual characters, there are five Grimps, but there are four that are in the band. And part of this project and concept of the Grimps is it's a tribute to rock and roll. So what I have done was, to the people that are the classic rock generations, I started to borrow some names and as tributes to some of them. So, for instance, the four main Grimps in the band, on guitar and vocals, we have Winston. And Winston's name came from John Lennon's middle name. And on drums, we have Mooney, which was a tribute to Keith Moon from
Keith
The Who.
Keith Moon, right.
And on bass and vocals is Mac, which is taken for Paul McCartney. And on keyboards, guitar, and vocals, we have Emerson. I was a big Keith Emerson fan, and actually I've met with Keith, and Keith actually has shown a lot of interest in being involved with this project in some way down the road. So, and then we have their manager and their go-to guy, which is a gentleman by the name of Magic Alex, and he's kind of their manager and wizard, and the guy in the storyline who is helped break the curse temporarily from these ugly little creatures that they are in the daytime, and try to permanently bring them back to be human. So that's an ongoing storyline of Magic Alex. And the five Grimms are the five main focal characters of the concept in the show.
Well, I got a little bit overexcited there because when you mentioned the one named Emerson, I kind of thought you named him after me because that's my middle name. But I can understand it being Keith Emerson. I mean, I can deal with that.
If I did a little bit more research, I would have said I named him after both of you. But Emerson is a great, great name. But as I said, Pancho, I was trying to borrow a lot of people from rock and roll and music history and. Again, I was a big Keith Emerson and still am a big Keith Emerson fan, and that's where his name came from.
Absolutely, and I don't blame you at all. I think you did a great job with that concept, and in the line of shameless self-promotion, which we are not averse to on this show, in fact, that's part of what it's all about. Just keep in mind, keep our phone numbers handy, because both John and I do professional voice work, and if you ever need some original voices, you know where to come. We're available 24/7.
Okay.
So what's the future hold in store for these boys now?
Well, what's happening now is, I've developed several promotional items. Anybody can go onto YouTube and search the Grimms and developed a electronic press kit, which is a concept of the project. An animatic, which was my first step of bringing them to life. We've recorded the show's theme song, which for some music historians will know that I had Ron Dante and Freddie Boom Boom Cannon wrote the theme song for the Where the Grimms and for me, and they did a fabulous job. And Ron Dante from the Archies and other things in his career, and Freddie Cannon had a fabulous career on his own, and they wrote a great song. And with these materials and what we're doing with Facebook and plus many scripts that have already been written, at the point of now looking for a home, shopping this around to networks and trying to get a development deal to get into production and get on TV, and at the same time work with some songwriters, some new ones, some people with great resumes, and get in the studio and simultaneously start to bring the Grimms music to life. And I feel very confident it's going to happen soon. And so that's the next step, which is the marketing. That's why I'm aggressive with my social media and things like that, and ways to get the word out, and besides other things that I'm doing. So it's really a shopping spree now, as we would say, to find a home for the Grimms, but it'll happen.
That's amazing, and I really like the idea that you were able to incorporate cross-generational figures, like, example, you're going from Keith Moon to Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, and I think it's tremendous that the oldies are still involved. I work with some oldies groups down here, one of which would be the Mystics, whom I know very well, a real nice bunch of guys, and it's great to see the oldies groups still involved in today's music and moving forward to basically into tomorrow's music. I think that's tremendous.
Absolutely.
John Bon Jovial, you're sitting there rather quiet. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I'm just taking this all in and listening with fascination. I mean, I think the origins of the Grimms is just something that is to be applauded, Richard.
Thank you.
And if you're affiliated with somebody like Freddie Cannon, that to me just lends so much credence with it. What part of the world are you from originally?
Originally and still am in New York City,
and
that's where I am today.
Because, I grew up in the Boston area, and, of course, listening to Freddie Cannon was just a natural thing to do, and I can remember listening to his music on WMEX in Boston with Arnie Woo Woo Ginsburg, and it was just, you brought back a lot of memories when you mentioned that name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that seems to be what's happening with this project. It wasn't even totally intentional, is that I started to meet by accident and get emails and communicate with different people in the music business that, you know, were tremendous at one period in time, you know, from Freddie Cannon to Ron Dante to Keith Emerson. I've spoken with Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees and Todd Rundgren and Eric Burdon and Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones, and all these people really kind of like have gravitated to the Grimps, think it's interesting, fun, and kind of quirky, and would say they would love to be, have the opportunity to be involved in different ways. And I had the opportunity with Ron Dante and Fred to be able to, you know, review a bunch of songs that they had written amongst other songwriters, and I just absolutely loved theirs, and that's what we went to. And there's so much more to come in that direction, where we're going to be producing the original Grimp music. Is not going to be, you know, sound like the oldies in any way from even any time era. It's going to be good pop rock and roll contemporary, but part of my goal and love to do in bringing the history of rock and roll together is actually having a guest star musician, singer, whoever it may be, make a guest appearance as themselves on Grimp's records. And that could be from Slash, from Guns N' Roses, to Mickey Dolenz or anyone. So I think it's going to be really kind of fun. I think it's going to be fun.
I was going to advance that thought as you were talking. It was flashing on me that I could see the potential for a Simpsons-like injection of these actual artists, past, present, and even the future artists, making guest appearances as themselves on the show. It's tremendous.
As themselves, and also the subtleties of some of them wanting to be on just to play a character, whoever it is, you know, just imagine,
sure,
you know, having Steven Tyler doing the voice of the grocery guy, you know, in the supermarket.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, and which will catch the attention of, you know, of the grandfather sitting with the grandson, you know,
hey,
going,
I know that,
you know, so that's it's going to be fun in a lot of different ways.
It seems to me that it's, you know, in a lot of ways you're trying to instill some just good old-fashioned values on, with kids.
Absolutely.
Which is something that is so lacking today. A question that I've got to ask you, and I suppose I should have done my homework a little bit further on this, but since it is, you know, that what a lot of people refer to as that most wonderful time of the year, do you have any seasonal music for Christmas, for Hanukkah, for, you know, so, you know, the kids can, you know, get a sense of where you're coming from in that direction?
Well, yeah, we're actually, it was a little too late for this year, but we've written a holiday song, which, you know, would be for everyone. And we're sure we're going to have it already in plenty of time for next year, but we do not have that piece ready at the moment.
Well, we sure hope that you'll advance us a copy of that, because we would love to premiere it on the David Bowers Awards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
And we look forward to having you back in the future and also meeting the guys. I especially want to meet Emerson. I think he's going to be a cool guy there. He sounds like my type of guy. Before we let you go, Richard, one thing I wanted to check. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yes, you did.
I was really worried about that. I haven't done one of those four or five syllable Italian names in a long time. I wanted to make sure I didn't offend our Italian listeners in any way. But on a more serious note, tell our listeners how they can find out more about the Grimps.
Well, I welcome everybody. Come, we have a fan page on Facebook. Search The Grimps, which is Musician Band. You can see all the artwork and updates and little videos. And we're also on YouTube. We have our own channel, The Grimps, or the website at www.thegrimps.com. So I'd love to have more people, you know, learn about us and see what's coming in the near future.
Fantastic. And again, we look forward to having you back in the near future, meeting the guys and hearing more of your music, which is what we're going to do right now. You want to tell us anything about the Grimps theme before we play it, Richard?
Just that it was written by Ron Dante and Freddie Cannon. It's a really, really happy and fun song, and hopefully you won't get it out of your head after you hear it for the first time. So come back for more.
I think it's going to be one of those infectious songs. Again, thank you so much for being with us, Richard Sergiovanni, and telling
yes,
us all
sir.
About the Grimps. We'll look
thank
forward
you,
to having you back.
Thank
and
you,
here it is,
thank you, David. Thank you very
you're
much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Here it is now, the theme of the Grimps. Ladies and gentlemen, can't wait to see that. That sounds like it's going to be a fun show, don't you think, John? John Bon Jovial? John's checking the phone lines.
No, I'm right here.
There you are.
It's going to be a great show. That's a great song, and you can hear the quality that goes into it. Just the production values and knowing that Freddie Cannon's involved in it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can't
go wrong.
I was blown away knowing that Freddie Cannon was involved. I know Freddie is still very active in the music scene, and it's great to see the generations getting together over something like this that everybody can enjoy, and especially the kids coming up. And that is fantastic. I look forward to having Richard back on and meeting the gang, of course. Right now, we're going to move on, I believe, John Bon Jovial. Isn't it time for our next guest?
Well, it is time for our next guest, but before we get to Trey Edwards, I just want to make mention, David, that, we've been starting to get some requests for advertising information on the David Bowers Awards, and if you're looking for an affordable medium to get your message out to the general public, because we do have not only a pretty good solid base here in the United States, but we're starting to get more and more of a following worldwide, and we can offer you some very affordable advertising rates. If any of you are interested, then please get a hold of us by sending us an email to david@thedavidbowers.com. Again, that is david@thedavidbowers.com, and either David or I will get back to you with rates, information, find out what you're trying to accomplish, and we'll look forward to having a long and lasting partnership. Our next guest, David, is a gentleman who is an incredibly talented musician, and he's a funny guy. We had a chance to speak with him a little bit before the show started today, and the guy's got kind of a whacked sense of humor. That's one of the things I love about him.
He fit right in here.
He sure did. His name is Trey Edwards, and I do believe that you have a story about him I think would probably be I don't know if Trey wants us to tell it, but
if you're talking about his career tie-in with our other guest, Charlie Daniels,
I certainly am.
I'm I'm going to let Trey tell that story himself, because that's one that I don't want to take the thing away from him. This is his story, and it's really a fascinating thing. But first, we're going to play a little of Trey's music. In addition to premiering his new single, which we will be doing after we talk with Trey, Trey has also shared with us one of the Christmas tracks from his Christmas album, which is out now, and he'll be more than happy to tell you how you can get a copy of that. Here with the most wonderful time of the year is Trey Edwards.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Hey, great sounds, great talent, and I want to hasten to add also that the group that Richard was talking about is the Grimps, not the Grinch, okay? We have no Grinch around here. John Bon Jovi is the closest we have to being a Grinch, and we don't allow him to be a Grinch. Trey Edwards, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
There you are. Welcome to the show, Trey.
Man, glad to be here.
It was great getting a chance to talk to you before the show. It's always a pleasure when we get to, you know, let our hair down and just be ourselves for a couple of minutes instead of, you know, our show faces here. Trey, tell us about Trey Edwards.
Man, right now I'm just kind of in the, as a buddy of mine would say, I'm caught up in the fishbowl, which is a good place to be. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff that we've got stirred up and, you know, some good things happening and some good doors opening up and really getting the opportunity to be blessed and bless a lot of folks. So that's what our game plan is.
You've definitely got a lot going, and I know you're keeping busy with it. John Bon Jovial, you have something you want to interject.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Trey, that, you know, that the song that you just sang, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year, probably one of my favorite Christmas songs, and I got to tell you, and I mean this with all sincerity, I'm listening to this thing, and I'm thinking Andy Williams would be proud.
Man, thank you very much, sir. I'm one of those guys that
fantastic.
I appreciate that. I'm one of the believers that you never take a good song and destroy it. You try to bring as much justice to it as you can and respect the original artist. So,
well, you sure did. You went above and beyond on that one, and I think everybody out there owes you a huge round of applause because you did a magnificent job of covering that song.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Awesome.
I got to agree. I got to agree with him. You did an excellent job on that. And what a set of pipes you got there, boy. You got a good sound.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been singing for a good while. My mother actually had me at PTA meeting singing at 4 and 5 years old. And so we just kind of kept it in the list of the things that I love doing and just kept pushing it forward.
Now, you got, since we played the Christmas track already, you have a Christmas album that is out now, and that's available where?
On CD Baby and also on iTunes.
And you have it available on your own site?
Yes, it can go to TreyEdwards.com, and then we've got all the links to just about everything there. So
fantastic.
To get to everything.
Fantastic. I know we always try to accent the artist's site themselves as the first choice. If you can't get it there, then yes, it's wonderful that you have the access to, you know, Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes, all these other places. But we try to get the people to go to the artist's site first. For one thing, that way we're sure the artist gets his money's worth out of it, and secondly, it also gives the fans and followers a chance to learn more about the artist, and a lot of, you know, there's a lot of interesting information on the websites that people don't normally get if they don't listen to a show like ours, and if they don't listen to our show, they're really missing out on it because we get some neat people like you on here. So you've told us a little bit about your history, Trey. What have you, now, this album that you are releasing, the single is out today. We're going to be playing it. And you also have a video, which you just released and we got to see earlier today, which is going to be available online also. Tell us about that.
Man, this was, actually, I got with a buddy of mine a few months ago, Michael Sykes. He's the guy that actually helped me produce the song that we're doing. And we just got together talking about some future events, and man, we're really trying to get some songs that relate to the project that we're calling the Hope Project. So every song that we're trying to put in the can is going to be a product of that Hope Project. And this was one of those songs that Michael brought to the table that him and Suzanne Jennings wrote. And the first time I heard it, I just told him, I said, man, that's definitely one we've got to do. So I love the song, and since he brought it to the table, it was only fair to, you know, to hire him to produce it, and I think we accomplished what we was trying to accomplish. And the video actually marries the song very, very well, and kind of shares the vision that we had of the song.
It's a beautiful song. I was really impressed with it, and I'm definitely keeping a copy for myself, if you don't mind. But,
oh, man, awesome. That's great.
Tell us about this Hope Project.
Well, again, it's just, David, the older I get, the more I see people that just, they're looking for every spark and every piece of sunshine that they can get a hold of. I mean, there's just so much chaos going on in the world, and so the little things now are becoming big things. And so we just, we started this project, you know, in thinking about all the ways that we could help people. This project itself is going to be going toward helping families and people that are going through cancer. And so we're actually, if you'll, when you get to watch the video, we've got a family and some friends of ours, Carl West and his children that are in the video. They're actually the stars of the video. And we're actually just about produce this whole project around his family. And in fact, 10% of the proceeds of our first 20,000 downloads are going to him and his family to help them with expenses. And to help him get through this, he's a trooper, and there's a lot of people out there that's going through the same situation that work hard every day trying to get through it. And we just want to let them know that the sunshine will come out again, and there is a better tomorrow.
Fantastic. That is just wonderful. I love to hear about the artists and when you guys are, you know, so many artists are actually giving back to the people or doing things like this, and it's really... it's really good to hear and encouraging. There are so many good people out there, and you just don't hear about them because, well, it doesn't sell news. The news programs have to have all the bad news, the tragedy, the exploitation and everything. And you don't hear as much about the good things that our people are doing, and I love it when we get a chance to hear something like that. Now, your new single is the follow-up to Believed, which was, what, that was released last year?
Last year, and that was the I Believe project, and man, that was another project that just everything just fell in order, and the pieces came together. I had a good buddy of mine, George Ayer, that lives here in Nashville, that he actually collaborated with me on that project, and we took some old tunes that I actually did the demos for and sang the vocals for the original writer years ago, and man, those were songs that I just kept thinking one day, you know, we may use them, and it just it worked out to be now was the time. They were kind of ahead of their time back then, but today's world they fit perfect, and so it was a good starting point for us, and it actually opened a lot of other doors.
Great. And now, are you a family man?
Yes, sir. I got a 21-year-old son who's actually a musician and a drummer, and he's already been traveling all over the countryside and all over the world playing, and so I'm very blessed with him.
Wonderful. How long have you been married?
Well, I've actually been not married now. been single for 22 years, yeah.
So, ladies, there's your cue.
been single a whole lot longer than I was married.
Oh, wow. Now, you're living in Nashville, right?
Yeah, living in Nashville.
That's a wonderful town. I got to go there, oh, it was more years ago than I care to remember. I was up there for the old DJ convention they used to have. And, what a wonderful time we had. That was, I can date it for you because it was the last year that the Opry was held in the Ryman Auditorium. And, it's one of my own personal favorite stories was the fact that, my associate that was working with me the week we were up there, we were going around one time when we didn't have something on the agenda that we had to do, and we were walking by the Ryman. I told the story one other time a couple months ago, but we were walking by the Ryman, and I just got the bug to go try the door, and it was unlocked and open. So we went in,
Wow. And
the place was totally empty, and I did something I did something that was probably not, you know, it would probably be frowned upon, but I just had to be where all of those wonderful people have stood over the years, and I did get up on the stage and just stand there for a couple of moments looking out over the seats and into the balcony and everything, and it was just such an awesome experience. And then we quietly went back, exited, and went on our way. I just had to have that moment and share that. Yeah, that was probably, aside from meeting some wonderful people, that was the highlight of my time in Nashville, and I would love to get back to Nashville again, but haven't made it recently.
You know, I've been to Nashville. I've been to Nashville a few times myself, and besides the Ryman, which of course always is a must-see on anybody's visit there, for me, it's Ernest Tubbs Record Shop.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's just a must-do. I mean, if you're ever looking for anything obscure, and they're not a paid sponsor, God, I wish they were. but I tell you what, anybody out there that's a record collector, that is just, that's really quite the experience. Nashville's a beautiful city, wonderful town.
Yeah, I love it. I tell people all the time, even if you're not affiliated in the music industry, there's so many things to do. I mean, the trails and the things to do outside. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff going on all the time. So it's just it's a great place to live and raise a family, no doubt.
I would love to go spend a vacation there for 2 or 3 months. Yeah,
man, come on, we'll hook you up.
There you go. If anybody's booking Nashville, I'm in.
There you go.
So, your new album now that you have coming out, of which we're going to play the new single in a few minutes, tell us about the music on the album.
Man, this you're actually getting the very first song on the project and also the only completed song. Now with the social media like it is and the way the industry is, you got more and more people that's kind of releasing a song at a time and then making a project out of it, then putting the project out. So we're kind of going kind of going that way with this one. It also gives you a little bit more liberty to get the song like you want it. Instead of trying to hurry up and get 10 songs finished in a certain amount of time, you've got a little bit more time to listen to what you've done a couple of days and go back and tweak some things. And it's a lot better process, I think, nowadays. So
well, I'd have to agree with you.
Well, and the song that you guys have, you are the first people to see that's hearing it today. We haven't released it to anyone else. In fact, I just, as of two nights ago, got the CD Baby link to where it's actually available so they can download it. So we held it back and got it finished just at the perfect time. So we appreciate you guys.
Well, we're honored and thrilled to be able to debut the song. It's called When the Sun Comes Out Again, and we will be playing that in just a couple of minutes after we talk a little bit more with Trey. John Bon Jovial, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about Trey's new song, and you know, we did have the chance to review it here privately. And very taken with it. It's a beautiful ballad. And again, this guy demonstrates, as you so aptly put it, he's got a hell of a set of pipes. You know, you do a good job on it, Trey.
He's got a good voice, and he's got the ability to get the feeling into the music. He's not just singing the music. You can feel the music. You do a good job of expressing yourself. What's in the immediate future for you besides finishing the album?
Well, we've got we're actually talking to some booking agents right now. I've got a band that's already kind of in progress waiting on me. So we're just walking through the doors as they open up. I mean, some great things are happening, but we're very cautious and wanting to make sure we're doing the right things. And I don't want to jump the gun on anything because we've got a lot of things that we want to do. And anytime you've got a big agenda or big goals, you've got to make sure you've got the right players in line and the right things, you know, the right people doing what they're supposed to do. So we're real cautious and just kind of going through the doors as they open up.
Well, you be sure and post your itinerary if it includes South Florida.
Definitely will.
We definitely want to be a part of that action. All right. We're going to play for you next, When the Sun Comes Out Again, the new single from Trey Edwards, which you just heard him say. We are privileged to, and very pleased, I might add, to be able to do the world premiere of, which you're going to hear now. And again, Trey's music is available at his own website, TreyEdwards.com. And, Trey, you're on the social media also. You're Twitter, Facebook, and all of those.
Man, we've got about every angle covered. And just make sure that they go to TreyEdwards.com.
Good point. Good point. For those of you that aren't familiar, Trey's first name is a little unusual spelling. It's T-R-A-E, not T-R-A-Y. Trey, T-R-A-E, and I think that brings a point I wanted to ask you and almost overlooked. Trey, where did that name come from?
Man, it's just, that I couldn't tell you. I was been going by it all my life, and I don't know where the actual spelling came from, but it's nowadays I see more people with the same spelling. so it's catching on.
Well, that's the important thing is you've got it, and you're making it work for you.
I do always have to say, no, I'm not the third. I was the first in my family named Trey. So
well, that would be interesting. Trey the Trey. That could get very confusing. Trey, hey, we thank you so much for coming, spending some time with us today, and we'll look forward to having you back. You'll have another single coming out here in the not-too-far-distant future, and maybe we can get in on listening to that one, too. In the meanwhile, again, you can order Trey's new single from his own website, TreyEdwards.com. It's also available at the usual suspects, Amazon and iTunes and the others. And also the music video, and is that on YouTube for the folks now?
It will be on YouTube just as soon as we finish with you guys. I'm going to start posting it. So it'll be available here within the next hour.
There you go, folks. You're probably sitting there telling her, go ahead, play the music so we can order it. Shut up. Okay, we're going to do just that now. Again, Trey, thank you so much for being here with us. Best of luck, Trey. Have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday to you and yours.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And here it is. You've been patiently waiting for it. When the sun comes out again, this is Trey Edwards. Thanks again, Trey.
Thank you, brother.
When the sun comes out again, I've got a list of plans. I'll fix the creaky woodshed door, put out the garbage can. I'll trim the hedge and cut the grass, repair the old dog's pen. I've got some good intentions. When the sun comes out again, I'll forget about this rain. I'll put aside inside affairs and lay to rest some pain. I'll make some new beginnings and I'll tie up some loose ends. Won't take the sun for granted. The sun comes out again. The sun comes out again. When the sun comes out again, I'll walk out in the light. Let it hit my tear-stained eyes that saw enough of night. Thank God it's not if, with the sun it's always when. I know that hope will find me when the sun comes out.
Hi, this is Joe Bonzo with the Oak Ridge Boys. You're listening to my good friend, the David Bowers.
Oh, you guys are wonderful. You guys are too much. Thank you, Joe Bonzo, the Oak Ridge Boys. Hope to have them back here in the not-too-far-distant future, too. But before we go any further, and before we do our Rockstar 101 special, I want to have someone talk to you about Computer Help USA, our good friends over there, and who better to do that for you than John Bon Jovial?
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And just before I get into that, again, just want to congratulate Trey Edwards on creating this absolutely beautiful song.
Yeah, you know, I did a little bit of shameless promotion for the David Bowers Awards a few minutes ago, letting you know that we are available for commercial partnership with your business. And one of the businesses that has taken us up on that is a company in Naples, Florida called Computer Help USA. And what Computer Help USA is all about is making sure that your data is protected, that it's safe, that it can't get into the hands of the bad guys. Through, you know, we can offer security and really give you peace of mind. Computer Help USA is a local repair facility in Naples. Now, we realize that not everybody is in Naples, but we can help also not only worldwide but nationally across the United States by offering remote internet computer repair services. For more information, go to our website, www.comphelpusa.com. That's www.comphelpusa.com. Or you can give them a call Monday morning, and the phone number is area code 239-596-6112. Again, that's 239-596-6112. David? A little bit of transitional music there, brought to you by the artist known as Jafefa. And that reminds me, Jafefa is one of our own who produces for us. And it reminds me that I did a no-no. I did a boo-boo. I neglected to mention at the top of the show our host band, our house band, Titty Bingo. From the great state of Texas, Titty Bingo provides our theme song for us. They've been on a couple of shows with us. They provide an amazing insight and a lot of wonderful rock and roll music, and we will definitely be having them back on the show again next year. I want to take a moment to correct my error in not mentioning them and thanking them for their theme for our theme music and all that they have done for us. Titty Bingo, if you haven't listened to them, you haven't listened to rock and roll. Get
and
online.
Once you listen to Titty Bingo, you'll discover why everybody loves to play Titty Bingo.
Absolutely. You find them online at just that, tittybingo.com. Check them out. Check out their most recent album, Live at Pedernales. You'll love it. They do some good stuff. Just plain old good time rock and roll. Grab yourself a drink, a snack, and a good partner, and just kick back and rock with Titty Bingo. You'll be glad you did, as they say in commercials, which you'd think this was almost a commercial, wouldn't you? No. Seriously, great bunch of guys, great music. You're going to love them if you're not already familiar with them. You'll want to play Titty Bingo. John Bon Jovial, we're going to talk about a different angle to Rockstar 101. We usually talk about the music artists and what it takes beyond being able to play an instrument and or stand up in front of a microphone in front of some people and sing and play your music. Today, we talk about it from the perspective of the people who play the artist's music, radio personalities and DJs.
That's right. Well, you know, David, the musician has to have the vehicle, and it has to have the wherewithal to get your music recorded, to get yourself noticed, to find that, you know, that special, you know, under assistant West Coast promo man, you know, or the likes thereof. But the artist isn't going to get anywhere unless they've got a bully pulpit, if you will,
if the
to play
music
that
doesn't
music
get
from.
If the music doesn't get played, you're absolutely right.
That's right. And so we in radio have known about this for years. I got my start in radio back in the late 60s. David got his start in radio back in the early 60s. We both worked together in the Tampa, Florida market for a number of years. We were very fortunate because back in the late 60s, early 70s, It was a different world back then. You didn't have the type of the selection of media that you have today. So radio really did truly have a captive audience, and the musicians were after us in so many ways to help them get noticed. And you know, some of them we did, some of them we didn't want anything to do with. But I got my start in radio I had always had an interest in it, you know, growing up in Boston, and I can remember going and visiting the various radio stations there, hoping that I could, you know, at least sit and watch them. And I remember talking to Arnie Ginsberg at WMEX and Charles Lacordaire from WBCN, which is one of the nation's first so-called AOR or album-oriented rock radio stations, and asking them, you know, how do you get your start in radio? And, you know, of course, they always say, well, you got to have experience. Well, how do you get experience if you don't have experience? 22. And without hesitation, everybody that I talked to said that you will one day find a situation where somebody will look at you, ask you the right question, and take you in. And indeed, that is what happened to me when I went to go work for WUSF in Tampa, Florida. It was the college radio station. And I can remember going down to visit, and Norm Hale, who was the news director at the time, said, "You ever been on the radio?" And I said, "No." He said, "Have any interest in it?" You know, and I wanted to say words to the effect of, "Oh, hell yes," but, you know, I was very, you know, "Oh, yeah, you know, I've thought about it. Sure, I'll, you know," and, oh, my God, I was horrible. I was terrible. But, again, the thing is, you know, I got a lucky break, and that's how most of us got into the business. We got in through a lucky break. And those of you that want to get into the business, you'll get in through a lucky break. And, you know, if you have a real true thunder in your stomach for it, if you have a passion in your heart and you really love radio the way we have loved radio and its power and its meaning over the years, then you'll be able to go places with it.
Well, your point is well taken and absolutely true. I know going back to my start was a similar situation, only it was commercial radio in upstate New York, in beautiful Rome, New York. Hello, all the gang of my old turf back in the Utica Rome area of upstate New York, some wonderful people. I was doing dances. I was DJing what we called record hops back in those days. And I had been in touch or trying to get in touch with local radio stations to see if I could get that break, the chance, the one chance I knew I needed to become famous. And one of them had left a message, called me back or something to that effect, and I was setting up for this dance this evening, and once I got set up, I had some time to kill, so I called them back, returned their call, and the gentleman I spoke with went through the usual, which amounted to what kind of experience do you have, and I was feeling a little bit frustrated at that particular moment. And so I just unloaded on him. I says, "What the hell do you expect? Every place I talk to wants somebody with 30 years, you know, 20-year-old with 30 years experience. Where do you get your experience if nobody lets you start?" And I must have caught him at the right time because he just sort of chuckled and says, "You know, you're right. Why don't you come in the morning?" And I started going into the radio station on the weekends at 6 o'clock in the morning for what seemed like an eternity, especially in upstate New York when you're walking to the radio station at 5:30 in the morning and it's 20 below zero and snowing. But that's how I got my start. And you talk about somebody giving you a break. Yes, there was a break. Others would say, well, you made your own break. That's part of the equation. Not so much that you can actually make the break, but you can keep knocking on doors, taking the chances, trying things till you find that break. Because the one truism that's at the root of it all is that break is not going to find you.
Oh, no, it's perseverance. You have to go out and find it. You're right. It is, you know, there's so many people, you hear the expression, "Don't call us, we'll call you." you know, that's a load of crap. You have to knock on doors. You have to be persistent. You have to be to the point where you're convincing that program director that, yeah, okay, you know, maybe I don't have, you know, X number of years of experience. Maybe I haven't worked in markets A, B, C, or D, but, you know, give me a chance. And, you know, you find the right guy. You find the right combination of program director, music director, you know, general manager of the radio station, and they'll give you a shot every time, but they're not easy to find. And you see, that's the whole thing. That's why you know, there's probably a lot more radio salesmen out there than there are radio programmers and radio disc jockeys. Because, and nothing against radio sales, my God, I did it for years and years, and I made a pretty damn good living doing it. But, you know, the real pure entertainment value of radio comes from not necessarily the music. Yeah, the music plays a big part of it, but it's that guy behind the mic. Is this somebody that you want to listen to? Is this somebody that can hold you in rapt attention? Is this somebody that you can laugh with and somebody that you can cry with? And, you know, you don't see that so much anymore today like you did back in the 60s, 70s, or 80s because of the plethora of media that is out there right now. But it's still there. Satellite radio is probably a real good example of what radio can still be. And also internet radio, such as the David Bowers Awards, or Blaze and Rise radio show, or, you know, Word of Mom, or any of these other niche radio shows that are out there that are really able to show their talent, show their personality, and their tenacity for wanting to entertain the audience.
One of the things that pops up often, and I know I hear when I'm talking to a prospective radio personality or something of the like, and yes, you have to include internet radio, because internet radio today is what broadcast radio was 80 years ago, back in its infancy. It's in its infancy now, and that's a great thing. It's a great opportunity, because anybody can get into radio, as it were, and do their own thing for however big an audience they're willing to work at to build. But the one thing that I hear a lot is, I don't have any demo. I don't have an audition tape. Well, this is the same thing with bands and music talent. Their audition tape is often the music they're playing at the venue they're playing in. Because let's face it, these bands that come from these little small towns, wherever, you know, you know, Eastern Texas or wherever they're from, in some town that nobody's ever heard of, they don't have audition tapes either. Think of the persistence in continually trying to get in touch with the right person as your audition tape. Sure, you haven't been on radio, so you don't have an audition tape. But your phone calls, your letters, your sitting down with the program director at a radio station, that's your audition tape. Because that's how you're going to, one, get his attention, and two, sell yourself.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, David. The way that, you know, I think that's true of just about really any business, but, you know, the radio business is so damn fickle sometimes. And I can remember back in, I think, 1978, I moved out to Los Angeles, and I thought, you know, I've worked in major markets now. I can go anywhere and get a job. And I listened to some of these stations in L.A., and I remember thinking, you know, God, what are they thinking hiring this guy? I'm 10 times better than him. And, boy, I got a lesson in humility real quick. But I remember, you know, moving out to California and thinking to myself, you know, how can I accomplish the lifestyle that I want and still be able to get and be in the business that I love so much? And, you know, you have to, once you've sat on the throne and you want to continue, then, you know, sometimes you have to come down a little bit to the people's level and move on elsewhere and then start building yourself back up again. And I did just that when I moved out to California. Couldn't get a job in L.A. Lord knows I tried for 6 months to get a job in L.A., and I found out about a little small station in Bishop, California, what was then KIOQ-FM, which I believe is now KIBS-FM. Went up there. I had my radio check, which is the audition tape that David just mentioned. And they hired me on the spot because they thought, oh, my God, this guy's coming. He's worked in Tampa and Miami. And, oh, you know, we've got a lamp onto his feet. And that lasted all of 10 minutes when they asked me how much I wanted to be paid. But I ended up living there in the Owens Valley for quite a few years, and it soon made me realize that you can do good quality radio from anywhere. You don't necessarily have to strive for major market stardom. You can go to East Podunk, Missouri, if you want, and be just as happy as somebody that might be doing afternoons at KHJ in Los Angeles, although if they offered me the gig, I might consider it. Okay, we've talked about us long enough, David. I think, to be honest with you, we had somebody lined up for Rockstar 101, and unfortunately the gentleman fell sick, and so David and I were sitting around wondering, well, what can we do? And we thought, why don't we talk about our radio careers? It's been a good career. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I was out of it for a number of years, and then David kind of got me back into it again. This has been a lot of fun working on the David Bowers Awards because we get to talk to some really cool people. And, we get to talk to a gentleman who is probably one of the best-known fiddlers in the world, and his name is Charlie Daniels, and we're going to be coming up with that in just a few minutes. David?
You're absolutely right, and I thank you so much. And for those of you who are particularly interested in this line of thought, Rockstar 101, think of it all in the same vein as I said. You're talking to someone, is your interview is your audition tape, and bottom line is, if this is what you really want to do, and doing radio is not being a star. Doing radio is sharing something with an audience. And just like if you're a singer or you're a band or whatever, when you get up there in front of that audience, they are the ones that are 100% of what you're doing. And you get up there, whether it's on stage with a band as a solo act or on the radio or on the internet radio, wherever it is, you get up there and you give them what they want. You give them 100% and squeeze out a little more if you can, because that is what it's all about. Like I said, it's not being a star. It's sharing something with an audience who wants what you're sharing. And if you do that well enough, you'll be a star.
Brother, you just said a mouthful.
And with that in mind, let's move on, because I know there's one or two people in the audience, speaking of what the audience wants, there's one or two people in the audience that came here for a little bit of Charlie Daniels. And that's exactly what we're going to give you, only we're going to give you a little bit more than a little bit. Right now, here's Charlie Daniels and Long-Haired Country Boy.
People say I'm no good, crazy as a loon. So I get up in the morning, I get down in the afternoon. Yeah, kinda like my old bootleg hound, just lay around in the shade. I ain't got no money, but I dang sure got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing. I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this long-haired country boy alone. Reach a man talking on down the rock and roll. He wants me to send a donation, cause he's worried about my soul. The man said Jesus walked on the water, and I know that it's true. Sometimes I think that preacher
can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, you just leave this long-haired country boy alone.
Charlie Daniels, long-haired country boy. And you know what? We're going to bring Charlie on in just a moment. But before we do, we overlooked one thing when we were talking with Trey Edwards. And John Bon Jovial, are you with us? No? Okay, he may be out grabbing a cup of coffee. But we did overlook one thing when we were talking to Trey Edwards. And what we're going to do, you remember what we missed there, John?
Yes, I do. Hey, I can't believe it.
It was such a big coincidence because when we were putting this show together, I did not know this story. And I was merely booking the artists that we were going to have on the show. Then this story came to light, and I said, you know, what an amazing coincidence that both of these people are going to be on the same show. And we talked with Trey there for quite a few minutes and didn't get this story told. So I've talked to Trey, and we're going to get him from the green room and have him come back out here and sit down and talk with us. Trey, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm back.
Great to have you here again. And before we bring on the interview with Charlie Daniels, I want you to tell us, because it's such a fascinating story, how you got your start in your career and how Charlie Daniels figured in it. Tell us about that.
Man, let me tell you something else real quick. When you, about a week before you actually called me and told me that Charlie was going to be on your show and asked me to be a part of it, about a week prior to that, I was in my studio room going through things and get some things out of the garage. I ran across the papers that they sent me from the Charlie Daniels Talent Roundup.
So finding
those was just a fluke. that was back in let me see here, February 12, 1996.
Oh my gosh,
that was a while back. So man, about a week after that is when you hit me up on Facebook and wanted to know if I wanted to be a part of the show with Charlie. So it was a blessing for me.
if you would share that story, how Charlie Daniels figured in your career with our listeners.
Well, it was just, it's one of those things that every artist looks for. You know, you look for the time where you're going to get to be with a well-known artist or a public figure, and then you hope that you can present yourself in a way that people want to hear you again. So it was one of those days. It was, the show itself was, was just a tough deal. The reason was, when I first got there and they heard the song I wanted to do, they instantly had to transpose it into another key. So we started off right off the bat with a hurdle to jump. But it worked out perfect. All those guys are just all pro players. And this was really my first time working with guys of this caliber. I mean, I came in, they listened to my song once or twice, and then they were playing it. So I was blown away. But, it worked out great. I mean, I got a lot of good response from it. I actually had two producers that were in the audience that got in touch with me later that opened up doors to do other things. It was actually a part of the time where I met some people that worked with Bob Shapiro, who's a great writer in Nashville, and got to do a lot of demos for those guys. So it was one of the stepping stones. And, man, Charlie was always a first-class guy. I mean, I always loved him to death, loved what he stood for, and loved his music. I mean, he's an incredible artist.
Well,
that's kind of what started.
Yeah, it's such a fascinating story. I just had to get you back on here, and you've got a trivia first there. You know, you're the first artist that we've actually had do an encore on the same show he was on originally.
Oh, good. Well, good.
All right. Listen, Trey,
That's awesome. Thank you
so much, and I think that really fits in with what John and I were talking about on Rockstar 101, talking about how to make a career, whether it's in playing the music or being a radio person who plays the records of the people who make the music or whatever. The fact that you can get breaks, but you got to make the breaks. You got to get out there and give them a chance to happen, and you sure did that. And it sure paid off for you. I think it's a wonderful story, and I thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Okay, now before you go, Trey, we got some listeners in the chat room, and we've got one of our listeners who's very, very loyal to us, Candy Kane, and she just wants you to know that she is a huge fan of yours and sends her love all the way from the great state of Washington.
Wow, that's wonderful. Thank you, Candy, very much. Glad you're a part of the family.
Thanks again, Trey. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. And we'll look forward to the next time you're on the show.
Hey, man, can I say one more thing?
Absolutely.
You know, you were talking about earlier that you always give awards. You know, your other people give awards to other people on the show. And I just want to take this time to give my award to Charlie Daniels. I mean, he is definitely just, a great guy and one of the few artists that still stand for something, who has beliefs. He's not ashamed at all to speak his beliefs and to stand what he stands for. And in this industry, I've already seen it in my short career that I've been in it, how the industry people try to sway you to say the right things. Don't say this. Don't get too close to the fence. Make sure you keep everybody happy. And he has been one of those guys, just like some other friends of mine, like Joe Bonds with the Oak Ridge Boys and those guys. They're just, There are some still true Americans out there that have good beliefs, they stand for good things, and they want to keep this country going in the right direction.
Oh, I second that 100%, and I agree with you 100%. Charlie is a great guy. We really enjoyed talking with him. The only thing I regret is the fact that we weren't able to have him live on the show, that we did have to pre-record the interview. It would be fun to have been able to have the two of you sit down and talk together, too. But I agree with you. He's one of the honest guys. Joe Bonsall, another great guy. My brother Joe, I love him. He's been so good to me. He's the reason that I'm doing this show. Briefly,
oh, wow.
Briefly, I had met Joe back in upstate New York when they were on tour. He kindly took us into one of their shows, and we went to see him before the show, and actually stood outside the arena by the bus talking with him for pretty close to an hour. And at that time I was looking to get back into radio and doing voice work, and he spent a bit of time trying to
not necessarily dissuade me, but tell me how rough it is and, you know, how hard it was going to be to accomplish. And that sure. kind of, you know, me being the stubborn, obstinate type that does the opposite of what I'm told to, that kind of encouraged me to go ahead and, I can't do it, huh? Well, I'll show you. I'm going to go do it. And
I can vouch for his stubbornness, too, I'll tell you.
And Joe has been wonderful, as have all the Oaks. They're really a great bunch of guys, and I salute them as true good guys too. So thank you again for bringing that up. Thank you for coming back, and we're going to go ahead, by the way, and give away an audiograph. For those of you who have never heard of that before or haven't listened to the show before, it's where we take one of our guests on the show, and we give you a chance to get an autograph from them. Well, obviously, you're not here, so they can't write it on your hand or your face or anywhere else. So we do it audio-wise. We'll ask a question. You post the answer on the David Bowers Awards Facebook page. The first person who gets the right answer posted on our page will win the audiograph, and Trey will give you their email address and their name, and you verbalize an audiograph just as if you were writing it out. Only thing is, you're going to say it, and we're going to send somebody an audiograph. And I'm trying to think what the question might be. How about let's make it really easy this week. And we did mention this. As a matter of fact, we went in and explained it very well. So the first person who can post Trey's first name spelled correctly on the Facebook page of the David Bowers Awards. How do you spell Trey, as in Trey Edwards? Post it on the Facebook page. The first person up there is going to win an audiograph from Trey Edwards. Again, Trey, thank you so much. It's been a blast having you on here, and we look forward to having you back. Thanks
Man,
a lot,
thank
Trey.
You. Thank you guys very much. Very much
okay.
enjoyed it.
That's
thank
great.
Thank you,
Trey. Till next time. John Bon Jovial, what's up next?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, David, we had an opportunity to telephonically sit down with a real legend in the business, one Charlie Daniels. And he's on tour and was kind enough to take all 15 or 20 minutes out of his life to sit down and yak with us. Real down-to-earth, genuinely good, warm-hearted man. And he's a real true American, and he's an American musical hero as far as I'm concerned. And so we're going to let you hear the complete unedited, unadulterated, if you will, version of the interview that we conducted about 2 weeks ago with Charlie Daniels. David?
Well, hello, and thank you again, John Bon Jovial. For our next guest, there are some artists whose music is just so unique that they find it hard to categorize it. And our next guest doesn't even try because he doesn't even have to. Welcome aboard, Charlie Daniels.
Well, good days, you guys. How you doing?
Just fine. How are things with you?
Everything's wonderful with me. Just kicking, grinning, having a big time.
Fantastic. We are so honored to have the privilege of having you on our show here today. Want to get right to the point because I know you're busy and you've got a show to do. We do want to touch base on your career. And one question that we've been asked by our fans, apparently they didn't find this out checking you out online. How did you get your start?
Well, I was born in North Carolina, and I was in my early teens, my middle teens actually, and I had a friend that I never had any idea he owned a guitar. And I went over to his house one day, and he had this old guitar out messing with it, and it evidently was something he got years before and learned about 2.5 chords on it, and then put it back up again. So I said, what you know, you've got to teach me. I need to learn this because I've always wanted to play music. So anyway, we started from there and just, you know, bugging everybody we could find to teach us another chord or another run or something, and just started putting a little bluegrass band together and started playing square dancing in a radio show and just, you know, doing anything that we could. And then in 1956, I moved back to Wilmington, North Carolina, and started playing in the beer joints up in Jacksonville, up close to the Marine base. And that's where I paid a lot of my dues and learned a lot of my music was two or three years that I played there, playing six nights a week. 67, I went to Nashville, and, you know, God's blessed me.
Well, I know that when you went to Nashville, you got to be a session musician for some time, and then you got into getting some of your music, some of your personal writing published. What was it, 64? You wrote It Hurts Me, which Elvis did?
I co-wrote that. I think it was 60, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 63 he recorded it. It could have been 64 when it was released, but right along in there, yes. That was actually before. We wrote that before I went to Nashville. I went to Nashville in 67, and we wrote that in 63. So it's, you know, one of them things that... one of them wonderful things that you never, you know, just a blessing of God that you don't really know how to, you know, it just comes out of the blue because Elvis recorded this. He held it for about a year before he released it. And finally, when he released it, it was, you know, just euphoric for me. That was a great, and things like that, that kind of keep you going, that give you the impetus to go on and the encouragement to go on.
Well, Charlie, how did you feel when you found out that Elvis wanted to record your song?
Actually, Elvis had already recorded the song before I knew anything about it. Whoever was picking material for him, we had recorded, Bob Johnson and myself wrote this song, and Bob was working for a publishing company. And he sent the song in to the company, and it were the same people that handled Elvis's two publishing companies, Gladys Music and Elvis Presley Music. And they took held the song. In other words, they just put it in with a whole bunch of other songs and said maybe possibly one of these days he may get around to listening to it and recording it. Well, when you listened to it, you liked it, and he recorded it. And it was already recorded before I knew anything about it, basically. I'm going to find out he had done it. And it was euphoric. I mean, it was just incredible. It was hard to put into words, actually.
I can well imagine. And you worked with a few other artists, including a guy named Dylan. You did a couple albums in 69, 70, or right thereabouts. But it wasn't until 71 that you had your first album. Why did it take you so long?
Well, you know, I went to Nashville. I had been on the road for a long time playing beer joints and nightclubs, and I had a family. And when Bob Johnston took over Columbia Records, when Don Law, who was a legendary producer, retired in Nashville at Columbia Records, and Bob, who had worked his way into Columbia Records in New York and was producing Bob Dylan and a bunch of people, when he came to Nashville to take Don Law's place, he called me and said, "Why don't you come down?" This is 1967. And maybe get up the road, you know, write and play. And so that's what I did. I moved there in 67, and when Dylan came to town, you know, I was going to play one session, and he liked what I was doing, so he kept me around for the rest of it. I ended up doing three albums with him. We did National Skyline, Self-Portrait, and New Morning, which was a big, big shot in the arm for me. And I had not thought so much about recording them myself, but I had been writing songs for a long time. So I kind of wrote a batch of songs that I felt like I could do, and I was actually producing records. I was producing a guy named Jerry Corbett, and he was with Capitol Records, and I was in Los Angeles in the Capitol Records office, and sitting there, this guy named Earl Ingerman, who was listening to some of the stuff that I had cut on Jerry. And Jerry's manager, Don Rubin, said, "Charlie, why don't you sing?" It was a guitar there. "Why don't you sing some of your songs for Carl?" And I did, and he signed me on the spot. He signed me on the spot that afternoon. I mean, you know, said, "We want to sign you." So, you know, here we went. And, of course, the first few albums we made were pretty well-kept secrets. And in 1973, we had an album called Honey in a Rock. It had a song called An Easy Rider on it that was a hit single. It went to top 10 all over the country practically, but it was not a career builder, and it was a novelty song. So 74, we cut an album called Fire on the Mountain that had some of the songs that to this very day are some of our biggest songs. South's Gonna Do It Again and Long Hair Country Boy, and it was a real career builder. That particular album was a real career builder. And then, you know, we kept on. In 79, we came out with Million Mile Impressions, which I never went down to Georgia on it. And,
you know, there's such iconic songs. I mean, both Dave and I were, you know, in country radio for many years, and I can remember you asked the listenership to call in for requests. What do you want to hear? Do you want to hear, you know, Cal Smith? Do you want to hear, you know, Waylon Jennings? No, we want to hear Charlie Daniels and the, you know, South's going to do it again. Long-haired country boy. I mean, we were just inundated. It was a beautiful thing.
Well, it was a blessing. It was a true blessing, actually.
The blessing has gone both ways, Charlie, because the millions of people that follow you and buy your music, go to your shows, they tell the story right there. And quite all right, Charlie. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you, and along with what you're saying, that you never know when you put records out. You never know where they're going to end up. I got I think it was a Twitter from a guy I'm wrong, but anyway, I got in touch with him, and he was telling me about a Saudi Arabian. This guy worked evidently over in the oil business in Saudi Arabia for a while, and it was a guy who was a Saudi who used to carry our music around in his SUV and play it riding around in Saudi Arabia. I mean, things like that just completely blow my mind. Who would ever think that somebody who lived in that part of the world would have anything in common with South going to do it again, or never went down to Georgia, or anything else for that matter. But music truly is the international language, and I've never ceased to be amazed when something like that happens, and I've had several things like that happen. So when you put a song out, you put a record out, you never know where it's going to go, who it's going to influence, and you know how it's going to be perceived. And it's really been a neat blessing to sit back and hear what you just said about, you know, people requesting the songs and about to create something from nothing and have other people like you.
Well, I got to see it from both sides. I got to see it from both sides of the fence, because after my years in country radio, I was in rock radio for several years with a major station in Tampa. And funny thing, your music kept showing up there, too.
Well, you know, that's we kind of went across the board to some extent. I mean, I've never categorized our music. I don't think it's necessary to strictly categorize everything. I think there's good music and bad music, and I like to think I play good music. So,
well,
you fall into that category, you're right. But as far as whether it's country, rock, jazz, bluegrass, gospel, whatever, I don't think that's necessary.
Well, you were asked in an interview once if I can quote nearly the statement. Somebody asked you if your music was country, bluegrass, or rock, and you answered, yeah, all of the above.
All of the above, yes, absolutely. It is. It really is. If you come see a CDB show, you're going to hear some of all of it. You're going to hear, of course, you're going to hear country, you're going to hear bluegrass, you're going to hear rock, you're going to hear gospel, and you'll hear jazz. I mean, we do some of all of it, but we just mix it in. It's our style. It's the style of the Charlie Daniels Band. That's what we do. I've got the best band I've ever had. These guys can pick. I tell you what, it's all I can do to keep up with them. And I'm their biggest fan. I love hearing these guys play. I love playing with them, standing on stage with them every night and listen to their solos and the things that they do. And, you know, it's just a great way to make a living when you love it like I do.
And that's the difference. We hear that from so many people on the show that the key is loving what you do. And anybody that knows me knows that I've been a cross-genre person for ages. I love it when an artist can successfully bridge the gaps and break down the barriers, because we get overly obsessed with categorizing everything, including music. And music is music. Like you said, it's the international language, and I think you're living proof of that. Before we let you go, Charlie, we are going to play another cut from your Hits of the South CD here in just a few moments. But before we let you go, what advice do you have to aspiring musicians?
Learn to entertain. When your records are not knocking the tops out of the charts and you don't particularly look like you're 18 years old anymore, you can't, you know, you're not a sex symbol, or you don't look good in a pair of tight jeans, which I never have. I've never had that thing on. I don't even look good in a pair of loose jeans. But learn to entertain people. Give people their money's worth. That's been one of my total aim in my whole musical career, is to please people. And I want people, when they leave the CDB show, I want them to go out and say, man, I've just had a good time. For an hour and a half, I just forgot everything and got in there with CDB, had a good time, listened to a lot of different kinds of music. And when he comes back to town, brings the band back to town next year, I'm going to come back again. That's how you build a career. You build a career by giving people their money's worth, and they know when you do it. Every night when you walk on stage, you forget your troubles, you forget your arguments, you forget your bills, you forget everything else. You owe your 110% undivided attention to those people sitting out front who bought the tickets. It's a learning process. You're not going to start out doing it. But pick up the things that work. Find the things that work for you. Forget about everybody else. What everybody else does don't make any difference. That's one of the common things. That's one of the big things in Nashville. Somebody makes a hit record, and everybody jumps right on top. Oh, we got to cut one of those. Don't do that. Don't fall into that trap, because when that trend goes out, you'll go out with it. So just learn to entertain. Learn what entertains people. Learn what buttons to push. Learn what makes people smile, what makes people happy, what excites people, what moves their emotions. You've been in business a long time.
Give the people what they want, and you'll always have an audience. Charlie, you've always been an outspoken person in support of America as well as the Old South, as it were. What do you base, and I don't want to get into, you know, a political discussion of one side versus the other or anything like that, but I think it's important to pull out a view. What do you base your political stance on?
Well, I believe in, you know, what's good for the country. I believe in a fiscally responsible country, a strong military. I believe in states' rights. I believe in freedoms. I believe that a lot of our freedoms are being taken away from us. I don't believe that the office of the presidency should carry as much power as it being as usurping, as far as I'm concerned, with what President Obama's doing right now. A president does not have the right to change laws that have been passed by Congress that he signed into law, and to go back and change things about it. That's unconstitutional. And why nobody is calling him on this, I don't know. But that's where dictatorships come from. I'm not accusing Obama of being a dictator. So don't you cherry pickers out there, don't get into that. I'm not doing it. But what I'm saying is this is how it starts. And he's not going to be our only president. But when he does this, he will pass that on to the next president and the next president. And everybody starts taking a little bit. And the first thing you know, your rights are gone. You break the law and don't even know it. We got so many regulations, so many rules now that are totally, completely unnecessary. And to think that somebody hadn't completely torn the IRS totally apart. Here is an entity that terrorizes people, that is not responsible to anybody, that has all this power, and it's been proven to be totally rotten and corrupt to the very top. And you're talking about hiring 16,000 new agents to enforce this Obamacare thing, which is another unworkable thing. This cannot happen. It will not work. It will. I will go on record as telling America, Obamacare will not work. It can't. You can't polish a cow patty. So you can't fix this. You tear it down, you start over. I want to see people have health care. I would love to see everybody in America carry a cup about health care, but this is not about health care. This is about power. So the presidency is gathering way too much power about it, and we need to put some people in Congress that have the gonads to stand up and say, this is unconstitutional. You're not going to do this. You know, you got your power. Congress has got its power. The Supreme Court's got its power. And that's why it was set up this way. This is how it's going to be.
Charlie, you have some excellent opinions, and you voice them so well. You have a blog called the Charlie Daniels Soapbox. Where can people find that?
Just charliedaniels.com, cdb.com or charliedaniels.com. And I do two a week. I change it every Friday afternoon and every Monday afternoon. So if you want to read what I think, and it's not always about politics. Sometimes I talk about things like shopping with my wife, which I equate to be about two cuts above having a root canal done. And, you know, all kinds of things. But drop on by and see it. Gentlemen, I have loved this. Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely, Charlie.
We
a pleasure
would love
and an
it.
Honor for us. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Okay,
guys.
That's
God bless you.
Thank you, Charlie.
God bless you, Charlie. Ladies and gentlemen,
you.
The legendary Charlie Daniels. Thank you so much. Let's hear a little more of his music.
Country boy to be misunderstood when the honky-tonks are jumping and the girls are looking good. Yeah, I get excited and some people think I'm rude. It's the way my daddy raised me, it's my rebel attitude. And I'm a southern boy, southern born and bred. I got sweet home Alabama buzzing all around in my head. I'm right at home in Georgia, down in Carolina. Yeah, I'd be happy anywhere below the Mason-Dixon line. Working in a sweat until I hear that whistle blow. Country rocker cooking on my pickup radio. I rush home for a shower and put on my dancing shoes. I get the Friday fever and the Sunday morning blues. And I'm a southern boy, I like a rowdy crowd. We're both deep, but so in the jukebox and turn that sucker way up loud. Don't need a reservation, we're just having fun. Yeah, it's party time in Dixie, y'all just come on down and get you
John Bon Jovial. Are you with us? Oh, he is something else. And it's funny, I'm not hearing you, though.
Well,
there you are.
There I am. I'm not really sure exactly what happened there, but, nonetheless, here we are. Yeah, you know, these technical glitches, we've got some new equipment here, and we're still kind of ironing some of the bugs out of it, but so far, so good. I think this is working out pretty well.
I think it's headed in the right direction, and for those of you who weren't privy to what he was saying when his microphone wasn't working there, he was very excited about listening to Charlie Daniels.
Yes, I was. I tell you what, though, I loved his expression, you can't polish a cow, Patty.
Oh, I know. That's a classic. I love it. That's a classic line. And it was so great to have the two of them, having Charlie and Trey on the same show with that amazing story. I know when I was talking to Trey about being on the show and that Charlie was on the show, he told me, he says, well, that's a coincidence. He said, because, and then he went on to tell me that his career actually got started because he won that Charlie Daniels talent competition. So that was really fantastic. And again, I only wish we could have had them live so the two of them could have chatted about that. That would have been interesting. That's one of the neat things about this show. I really like when we get
the guests on, because we do, you know, we do try to be very casual here for anybody who hasn't already figured that out. And it's more like sitting around the coffee table, having a coffee or a drink or something, and chatting than it is a formal interview. And it's, for us, it's really kind of like being able to be a fly on the wall while the artist tells us, you know, his personal stories, his or her personal stories, and their history of how they got started. And I really like the feeling of being able to create that atmosphere of sitting back and chatting. And we do that for those of you who don't, you know, we want to go video in the very near future. At the present, we aren't. So for those who are interested, we're very casual here, too. Believe me, we do not wear suits and ties, okay?
Oh, no, far from it.
Far from it. We're sitting here with shorts and flip-flops and a little snack on the side. I got a couple of cans of iced tea sitting here, and it's a very casual atmosphere, and I like that. This is what I had envisioned from the beginning when we started to put the show together.
Well, one of the analogies that you had stated just the other day when we were talking about the presentation of the show is that it's, you know what it is? It's a bunch of people sitting around a bar having a conversation.
Yeah,
And that's what it is. You know, we're all having a beer. Nobody's getting outrageous or out sloppy drunk. We're just sitting around having a beer and having a conversation.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to accomplish here. And I think that our guests, like Trey, was he was just, you know, he was right there with us, you know, sucking down that Heineken with us. I mean, so, it has worked out very well, at least from our opinion here in the studio, or not our opinion, our viewpoint, our feelings of, yeah, from here in the, on the studio side, is that it has really worked out very well with the casual, you know, refrain that we have with our guests. And we want them to feel at home. We want them to know that, you know, they're our friends, we're their friends, and, you know, hey, y'all want to come back here and talk to us again, you know, the door's always open.
And the audience, too. I mean, I like the idea that the audience is part of our living room conversation with these artists, because really that's what it's all about. It's a chance to bring the artists and the fans together and let them, you know, let the fans hear the inside stories about the artists as if they were sitting in their living room and chatting about it. And, you know, the fan said, well, hey, Charlie Daniels, great to have you in my living room. How'd you get started in the business? And, you know, that's basically what we're trying to do here. And for our listeners who have, you know, opinions, if you think we're doing it right or you don't like what we're doing or you'd like to see us do something else, the email is always open, david@thedavidbowers.com. We mention it often. Don't hesitate. If you've got questions, comments, requests, whatever, feel free. Drop me a line, david@thedavidbowers.com. I promise you, your letters do get read, and 99.44% of the time, they get answered. There's always a chance I might miss one, because we do get a ton of email and messages and posts up on the social media sites, but I do try to personally answer every piece of mail. I do not.
You know, when you just said 99.44%, I thought you were getting ready to bring on Ronnie Millsap.
Well, an older person like me would equate that with an old soap commercial from the 50s.
Oh, yeah,
so.
The old Ivory soap commercial, sure, yeah.
100% pure love.
Okay, I'll stick to my day job. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would definitely do that, because I think you're like me. You sing in the shower, the water stops.
No, the water freezes.
Or that. But anyway, that's the way it is on December 8th, 2013, and I'm not trying to be Walter Cronkite either. It's been a blast. I've really enjoyed this show. We've had a little extra time to sit and chat and ad-lib, and I encourage our listeners to call in anytime. We have the line. The number's always up. It's 347-945-7137 if you want to call in, ask questions, talk to the artist. If in most cases it's possible, unless we're really pressed for time, or in in the case of like Charlie Daniels, we had to pre-record that segment. But the phone line is always open. For those of you in the listening audience that aren't familiar with it, you can go on to Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/TheDavidBowers. And you can log in. If you get a Blog Talk Radio account, which is like getting any other social media account, you get a name and a password, and there's no charge. But that will enable you to log in not only to my show, but to any other show you want. And there are literally thousands of shows on Blog Talk Radio, so you're bound to find some you're interested in. If you're like listening to us, you're probably into music. There are hundreds of music shows on there, and you'll find, definitely guarantee you're going to find some shows that you'd want to listen to. But with the login, you can enter the show's chat room. You can talk with other listeners to the show. You can also talk to the host. And in many cases, they'll let you talk to the guest, too. You can post up your questions to the guest via a text message. Then, as I said, we also have the phone line if you want to talk verbally and speak to the host or the guests. Our number is 347-945-7137. And to answer another question we get, yes, you can Skype into the show. If you go to the page for our show, you will see the little Skype icon, which will enable you to Skype your call into the show if you prefer to call that way. So feel free, and you know how to get to us. Again, email us anytime, david@thedavidbowers.com. John Bon Jovial?
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, David, it's been another great show for another great month of broadcast pleasure and quality here at the David Bowers Awards. Just want to let you know that we are produced by the David Bowers for Stick It In Your Ear Productions from the studios of Computer Help USA in beautiful Naples, Florida.
And
we are what?
And before we leave, we don't want to forget one other thing, John Bon Jovial.
And that would be?
It's that most wonderful time of the year.
Ding dong, ding dong.
I want to take this time, John and I both do, as a matter of fact, on behalf of all of the staff here at the David Bowers Awards, we want to take a moment to sincerely wish each and every one of you the merriest of Christmases, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, a happy and beautiful holiday. Make it a peaceful and safe one also. And bottom line, share it with the ones you love.
And I will second that emotion. I just want to continue, David, by, you know, letting our listeners know that, you know, you can click the follow link on our Blog Talk Radio page. That would be blogtalkradio.com/TheDavidBowers, and you'll see that follow link there. And that will give you reminders of our upcoming shows. You can also like The David Bowers on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. Be sure to join us for the David Bowers Awards for our first show of 2014. It's going to be our anniversary spectacular. We've got some very special guests lined up and some pretty cool activities to celebrate 1 year in business here at the David Bowers Awards. And that will be January the 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and that will be 11 a.m. Pacific Time. So we really hope that you'll join us then. Until then, for the David Bowers and all of the inmates here at the asylum, this is John Bon Jovial saying Happy New Year, everybody. Have a happy Christmas. Be peaceful. Love one another. And we will be sure to see you next time.
It's the most wonderful time of the with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be